Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
All right, here we are, mid-July. Welcome to Rangers Blue Line. I'm Brian Compton. I'll be joined by Patrick Williams from NHL.com in just a few minutes. Joining me now in the studio are my friends Nick Lacalzi and Adam Rotter. Fellas, how are you?
Good. Bored.
Doldrums. It's just the doldrums of July, right?
It's a summer break.
Not much going on. Arbitration hearings coming up. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Big news regarding the SNY.TV Hockey Podcast channel. The Islanders and Rangers podcasts are now officially in two separate feeds. So if you want to access only the Rangers shows, please search SNY.TV Rangers in iTunes and subscribe to the Rangers podcast channel. If you want to access the rest of SNY.TV's original shows on the Rangers, Islanders, Mets, Jets, Knicks, and college basketball recruiting, subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network, which you can find on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Fellas, the arbitration hearings are set. Let's go in order here. Dylan McIlrath, July the 21st. What do you think happens with Dylan?
I think this is a smooth one. Under $1 million and
should
he's back.
Be, right?
Yeah. They need him on the roster. They need NHL defensemen and guys to push the competition. I don't think this one's going to take long to get done.
This one, yeah. I'd be surprised if this lasted into next week. I think that this one, it's the easiest one by far because McIlrath has no leverage.
He has no leverage, and it probably could have been a little bit more difficult had AV played him more. We've talked about this before, but I just don't understand how and why McIlrath sat as often as he did. It was just so perplexing. And then the last game of the playoffs, so that when the Rangers were eliminated, Rafael Diaz is playing in front of him.
It all just seems to come down to one thing, which is like, as bad as Dan Boyle was, he's still a better skater than Dylan McIlrath. As not great as Rafael Diaz is, he's a better skater than Dylan McIlrath. And Alain Vigneault prides his defenseman on being able to skate when maybe there should be more focus on defending and not turning the puck over, but I'm not the coach.
And a physical presence too, Nick. I mean, he was really the only guy who could knock a guy over in front of the net.
He brings an element that the Rangers don't have, that they sorely lack. I think McIlrath has to be a part of this team going forward. As far as young defensive prospects they go, he's up there with Shea, and you got Graves, and that's it. The cupboard's dry. The Rangers have to milk their prospects for everything they have. How many times can we see the same guys over and over again, whether it's Girardi? I don't want Nick Holden getting a second of playing time if it comes at the expense of Dylan McIlrath this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. Chris Kreider, July the 22nd. This one, I think, is going to cause issues. And for me, at the end of the day, I'm going to go more in depth with this later in the show. I think Chris Kreider should be traded at the end of the day. That's just my view.
I've been on that bandwagon for a while, and I think that this is the one that's the most likely to actually go to a hearing, because mostly just because of what happened the last time. Kreider nearly went to a hearing the last time, and I do think that we've talked about this before. I wouldn't trade Kreider. I wouldn't trade Kreider. I go back and forth, but at a certain point in time, if you want to make any change to the roster, he's kind of the guy at this point, because it certainly doesn't look like they're going to trade Nash.
The fear is you're going to get burned in the long run, that Kreider's going to go somewhere else and become the 30 to 35 goal guy that we all envision and are really waiting for. But for me, I don't know whether Kreider just is unable of being motivated. I don't know what the deal is here. But the Rangers cupboard, like you said, Nick, is empty for the most part other than Buchnevich. And It's unfair to Hank, too, because it always revolves around Hank. They're trying to win him a cup before it's too late. But for me, if you're going to trade Kreider, you got to get prospects or picks back.
You really do, and I'm on the other side of you guys. I don't trade him. I lock him up for 5 years at $5 million per if you can, and give it a go. Because even if he comes in as a 22-goal scorer and 22 the following year, whatever it is, if it's 4 years and $20 million left or 3 years and $15 million left, that's a tradable asset. It's not like Kreider's value is going to depreciate. He's not going to have a 12-goal season and become a fourth-line center. He is a bona fide 20-goal scorer with a ceiling of, like everybody has said, 30 to 35. So I don't see his value depreciating for the Rangers. And I don't think it's at a peak right now if you trade.
I know how much money gets thrown around all the time. But, Adam, is Chris Kreider a $5 million-a-year player?
I looked at it like this. Who should be getting paid more money, Matt Zuccarello or Chris Kreider?
Matt Zuccarello.
By like $3 or $4 million.
Dollars.
Now, again, it's not comparable and salaries are all out of whack, and guys who are much worse than Chris Kreider are getting much more money, like Dave Boland and guys who will never play. But the question with Kreider is, like, I'm afraid to lock him up. I'm afraid to lock him up because, like, we all think if he puts it all together, he's going to be great.
Right.
But we don't, we've seen plenty of guys before who are great and have all the talent, but they can't put it all together. Like, that's the difference between Sidney Crosby and someone who's just as talented as Sidney Crosby, but can't get the mental game together, can't make moves as quickly. And I feel like Kreider's in that build where, like, you don't want to invest in him 2 years down the road where he's only got 20 goals, but he's getting paid $5.2 million a year.
And if they make that investment, to me, that's telling me they're banking on him reaching that level that we keep talking about.
I make the investment.
It's a risk, man.
I'm not
you
saying
can't pay everybody
it's not
$5 million
a risk, but I agree with you. But when you look at it, a guy like Oposo for the Islanders, it took him a while to put it together. And if John Tavares never came along, I don't know if Kyle Oposo puts it together. So Kreider, to me, is a guy, you're getting 20 goals. That's not easy to find. It's not like he's just a 20-goal
scorer.
And the
speed.
He adds the elements.
Power,
he
right.
can be physical. And if the Rangers find an elite player, Kreider's a guy who's going to fit next to an elite passer very well and is going to be the guy who then reaches that level. He's not a guy who's going to score 30 by himself, but he has that potential with the right chemistry, with the right guy. And then if you have him locked in at $5 million, he becomes a steal.
But he's played with good passers. No one's saying Derek Brassard and Derek Stepan aren't good passers. Comparing him to Oposo, like, okay, let's trade him to play with Connor McDavid. There are only so many guys who are like John Tavares who are that kind of difference makers that you can put pretty much anyone with them and their numbers are going to go up. So, you know, I mean, we've jokingly sort of like, let's send Kreider to Edmonton for Nail Yakupov or whatever. Like, put him with Connor McDavid and see what happens.
The bottom line is this is Chris Kreider. I don't see another level with this guy. This is who he is. And it's ultimately up to Jeff Gorton to determine whether or not he's a $5 million a year player.
I think he's going to say yes. Or somebody's going to. There's no doubt that Chris Kreider is getting $5 million from somebody. It might not be the Rangers. And the other part about Kreider's track record that stands out to me is his performance in the playoffs. He's stepped it
Very
up in the playoffs
yep.
every year. And when push comes to shove, that's what we're talking about. If Kreider was Rick Nash and scored 40 in the regular season and was a no-show when the Rangers needed him the most against the LA Kings and in these big series, we might not be having this discussion.
But the one thing about that is that the playoffs are, by in no certain terms, a lock anymore.
No, I totally agree.
So you need the better. I mean, I think we'd all trade the better playoffs for the better regular season, but you need the good, consistent regular season to even get good playoffs for Kreider.
All right, so Kreider's the 22nd. Kevin Hayes, July the 27th, 14 goals in 79 games, took a step back. Obviously, there's another level with Hayes because we've seen it. It's just a matter of consistency now, right?
Yeah, I feel like he's going to end up getting – he's probably going to shoot for a higher number in the threes right now, but I think he'll probably end up around where Kreider was on this current contract on a bridge deal.
Make or break year for Hayes, I think, as far as Rangerville goes, because they have to see, is he a center? Is he a wing?
They need to figure that out.
Is he the what we saw his rookie season or what we saw his sophomore season? Does he put it all together? You know, can he shake off the cobwebs? Was it a sophomore slump? The other thing I think that's flying under the radar is Hayes have an impact on Vesey if the Rangers are going to make a play for him? Well, he's not signing in Buffalo, it looks like. He's getting
August
there
the 15th,
on August 15th, and he's a guy, and the Rangers have said they want him. There's been reports about his interest in New York, and I think that's why we haven't seen Hayes at all as far as his name goes in any of these rumors. You've seen Kreider. You've seen Stepan. The Rangers have essentially made a commitment to keeping Kevin Hayes' name out of the media as far as trade rumors go.
Bit of an ego with Hayes too, Adam. I'm curious to see if this actually does go to a hearing. I know the Rangers have a history of avoiding it, but Hayes is a guy I think it actually could go to a hearing.
I think it could. Hayes is weird. And I do think they will keep him at center this year just because they tried to wing last year, and it was just an unmitigated disaster. The whole season turned out. But I could see I could see it going to a hearing in the way that I never thought Chris Kreider would go to a hearing. Never get as far as it did a few years ago, and now I think that it was possible. I think that Hayes probably, he certainly has a confidence about himself, and in whether that's deserved or not, that he's probably going to shoot for a higher number than the Rangers are willing to get. But do you really want to go to arbitration where the Rangers are then going to throw everything bad that you've done
at
you?
No, it's true, yeah.
And then, like, carry that with you? It's a weird thing.
JT Miller, August the 2nd, 22 goals and 21 assists in 82 games last year. He's very durable, also very maddening, much like Chris Kreider and Kevin Hayes. For weeks, he was easily their best player, and then for weeks, he was their worst. Another very inconsistent performance.
He was the one guy, who, like you said, when he got hot, I mean, everything Tremendous. He threw yep. was going in the net. Another guy where the ceiling is high, and unfortunately right now the Rangers season, you don't want to say hinges on the four names that we have in front of us going to these arbitration meetings, but in a way they do. If the Rangers younger players, they all have to take a step up in order for the Rangers to be good, because it seems like some of the older guys are sliding on backwards and there's no help coming from the outside. Sure, Grabner's good. You can lump him into this group, if you will, as a young player with upside still, but these kids are who the Rangers' future really is dependent on. I think Miller's a big part of that. I think we've seen him get better year by year. People crushed AV for the way he used Miller, but I thought when we saw Miller hit his peak, I think that's exactly what Alain Vigneault was going for, and I think there's more of that for JT Miller.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nick, on 2 points, hit it right on the head. Like, the same guys who were important for the Rangers last year are even more important this year. It's Kreider, Hayes, and Miller. If the Rangers were, you know, the Rangers got 101 points last year because of Henrik Lundqvist. If they would have had more if those three guys were better. I mean, Miller was good. The other two weren't. But you have seen a progression with Miller that I don't think you've seen with Kreider. To me, Kreider's gotten better, but he's always kind of been the same. You've seen where Miller was when he first came up and scored two goals against the Islanders.
Huge strides, yep.
To where he is now, like, he's a guy that I'm willing to put the investment in for 5 years and $4 or $5 million, because I think you've seen his progression, and I think it's not unreasonable to think that it will continue.
JT Miller, that's August the 2nd. We'll keep an eye on that. Join me now on Rangers Blue Line, my good friend Patrick Williams. Pat, Brian Compton here in New York. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it. Wanted to get your thoughts on the Hartford Wolfpack and the season they had last year. They failed to make the playoffs. What went wrong for Hartford last year, Pat?
Inconsistency is a big issue for them. They were a team that could get on a roll for a while, and then they would then have, you know, a stretch of two or three bad weeks. And the other issue for them was scoring. They just didn't have a real bona fide sniper in their lineup until Nicholas Jensen arrived, and by the time he arrived, they were already in a dogfight in the standings, and that was the end of their season.
Adam Tambellini was a third-round pick a few years back. He had 17 goals, nothing to sniff at. That's a pretty good performance from at the AHL level. What's Tambellini's ceiling here? Can he play for the Rangers anytime soon?
I think he probably needs at least another year, probably 2 years, if you really want to bring him along slowly. I think he has a upside of probably maybe a third-line NHL forward, just a competent player that can play both sides of the ice. And like you said, 17 goals for an AHL rookie is a really nice start. He comes from a family that knows how to put the puck in the net. Jeff Tambellini played a number of years in the NHL and the AHL, is a longtime sniper at that level. So there's a little bit of that scoring touch in the family, and I think he has a very, very solid upside.
Ryan Graves was a fourth-round pick. He made the All-Star game for Hartford last year, his rookie season. Looked pretty good. 103-mile-an-hour slap shot at the All-Star skills competition there. Obviously, he has the shot. What does he need to work on to get it to the next level here?
Just a lot of the minor details of playing defense at this level. So angling, his play away from the puck, his work in the corners, work in front of the net. A lot of those little details that add up to an NHL defenseman. But he had a really nice year. He can work the power play. He has that big shot, like you mentioned. Came along really nicely. And for a defenseman to settle in quickly in the pro game is a very good sign. A lot of times you see first-year defensemen in the AHL, even players who had a good pedigree coming out of junior, it could be a real struggle for them. It's a big jump for a lot of players, but he handled it nicely, and I think you look forward to him this coming season. He can really really solidify himself as the number one defenseman on that Hartford roster.
Graves and Tambellini aside, Pat, who's a guy that Ranger fans should keep an eye on? Who'd you like from watching Hartford a little bit last year?
I liked Marek Rivik last couple years. He's kind of just a nice, solid two-way player. He has a little bit of that scoring touch that that you like to see at that level. I don't think it would translate to the NHL necessarily, but you want to at least see that at the AHL level, to see that he can play with the puck a little bit. So that's a really nice one. I think Matt Bodie is a little bit of a dark horse. He's a little bit older. He came out of college a couple years ago. He's the captain there in Hartford. He really really came into his own nicely. Very good passer, very good first pass defenseman coming out of the zone. Him and Graves really head up that Hartford blue line. I think he'll make a little bit of a push at training camp and get a good recall option.
You mentioned Bodie being a little bit older. What's usually the cutoff, Pat, at the AHL level where you just say to yourself, all right, this guy's never going to make the NHL?
Well, if the player's coming out junior, I would say 23, 24 years. By that point, you have a pretty good sense of what he is. And if at that point he hasn't really started to knock on the NHL door, I think you can safely write him off. And sometimes you'll see players, they'll go to another team, and sometimes that's what they need. Just a fresh opportunity, but generally 23, 24. I think for college players, you can allow a little bit more time. They don't obviously play as many games in college, so there's a little bit of a learning curve. But when they do come out of college and turn pro around 22, 23 years old, they can be more polished in the sense of they're bigger, stronger, faster. So for them, I think 25, 26 for a college player is a pretty good cutoff line.
Brady Shea played 68 games for Hartford last year. Ranger fans got to see him a little bit at, you know, towards the end of last season. Looks like a really polished kid. Is this a top four defenseman for the Rangers here down the road?
Yeah, I think he could be. If not top four, maybe your number five defenseman. Again, just another solid player. Nothing spectacular, but a player that you can plug in there, certainly at the AHL level, and he can more than hold his own. It was interesting to see him there at the end with the Rangers. I thought he fit in pretty nicely. Sometimes you see players really have a big learning curve with that jump to the NHL, but I thought he stepped in and he looked confident, he looked polished. And that's kind of a testament to the work they've done down there in Hartford with Jeff Bukaboom was there until he got this summer's promotion, and Ken Drenander, the head coach. Players down there are generally very well coached and well prepared.
Last question before I let you go, Pat. The Rangers have traded multiple draft picks over the past few years. How much has Hartford suffered because of that?
Quite a bit. It's a big drop-off after their first three, four, five prospects. They had to fill in a lot of the gaps, a lot of ECHL players, a lot of free agent signings. It's a big deficit right now, and I don't see it getting better anytime soon. You look at what the Rangers didn't have this year at the draft. They have a lot of work to do to rebuild that farm system, and that's what you have to do these days, because if you don't have a good farm system in the cap era, you're dead.
Yeah, things could get worse before they get better, no question. Pat, thanks so much for a few minutes. I really appreciate it. Have a great summer, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Special thanks to Pat Williams from NHL.com. Nick, you mentioned it earlier in the show. The cupboard is pretty bare here in New York.
There's a few guys he mentioned, the Riviks, the Jensens, as far as up front go. But the fact is that if these guys are having a big impact on the Rangers next year, it means something went awfully wrong to get them up there.
Well, I mean, I think Jensen's a former first-round pick. I think that this guy, you know, he was a late first-round pick. He seems like he might be a 20-goal, two-way guy at his best. But, like, what's wrong with that? I think that he could be a very good third-line player for the Rangers. And I liked Rivik. Rivik's also been a guy who has, you know, we've seen him the past couple years. He's made progress. I was hoping he'd get a fourth-line shot this year. But, you know, frankly, when I was thinking about those two guys joining the team, I kind of thought some other guys were going to be gone from the team. And as of right now, I don't really know where entirely they fit in.
It seems like the Rangers have built the team where, like you said, there's not much room. There might be some competition for the last forward spot with Kirby, maybe for the 13th forward, but there doesn't seem to be much playing time for that type of player. The Rangers aren't in a position to experiment with the quadruple A NHL player, if you will.
It's just so tough. I mean, it's been 4 years since they had a first-round pick. Brady Shea in 2012. It's just, how do you maintain consistency and success at the NHL level when you don't have first-round draft picks year in and year out?
The hardest part for the Rangers isn't, in my opinion, developing NHLers. It's that they're not developing top NHLers. Yeah. Like, they're bringing in guys like Stephen Fogarty and Bo Nieves, who very well could be bottom six NHL forwards. And that the Rangers, over the last 10 years, have brought in a lot of bottom six, maybe second-line guys. Like, you even go back to, like, Dale Weiss was a Ranger draft pick. They've been good at finding those guys. But the issue is, like, outside of Buchnevich and obviously Duclair, they're not drafting top six guys, which I think is really what your point is. Like, they're right. Getting NHLers, but they're not getting enough top-end NHLers to really make a difference.
And Duclair is gone, traded to Arizona in the Keith Yandel trade. Nick, they really need Buchnevich to pan out, because if he doesn't, they're in a whole boatload of trouble.
He has to hit.
He really does. It's a lot of pressure on this kid, whether he knows it or not.
I agree. I think anything less than 15 goals from Buchnevich is going to be tough to swallow for the Rangers. And like you said, it's scary how much pressure is on him. Sure, he's probably going to be on the third line to start, but the Rangers need him to take Hayes and help Hayes reach the next level. All these young kids, they all have a ton of pressure on them. And Brian, just to go backwards one step here, yeah, where you were saying that how they haven't had the first round picks. One thing that I think has allowed them to survive is their success with foreign free agents. And then these first rounders who don't sign the contracts, the Kevin Hayes, the potentially being in on Vesey here, the Zuccarellos, they have done well with the late blooming NCAA players who come out. It was Gilroy a few years ago. They seem to find a way to get some of the second wave top young players.
I'm glad you brought up Vesey. This is getting ridiculous. It is. I'm sorry. Can we please stop pretending that this is the next Mario Lemieux? I mean, this is ridiculous. What's going on?
I mean, this guy's good. By all accounts,
we don't know how good he is at the NHL level.
Again,
we have no idea.
How many Hobie Baker winners pan out in the NHL? Like, where Matt Carl, Matt Gilroy, guys,
the list,
like,
goes on and on. Like, I remember back Chris Marinucci in the 90s when the Islanders drafted, oh, this is the next big thing. He played like five games in New York.
I think that VC, I mean, Kevin Hayes wasn't this big of a deal. I think VC's a big deal because he spurned the Predators and because there's nothing else going on. And there hasn't been anything going on. So, and because, I mean, unfortunately, people like Pierre Maguire, who probably see this guy a lot, he's hyping him up to be an immediate top six impact player. And, like, I don't, the same kind of stuff was said about Matt Gilroy, and for one reason or another, it never worked out.
It's just so ridiculous. I mean, now he won't even sign with, he knows Jack Eichel going back like 10 years, and he's not convinced he's going to sign with the Sabres.
And that's a third round pick that Buffalo did. It's not like they just got him for peanuts. They gave up something for his rights, and
they,
it doesn't.
They did have four third-round picks, though.
Understood, but it's absurd. Yeah. This kid better come in and score 35 goals. Like, the way he's acting,
I think he's
got to
score 50 with the amount of pressure that everyone's talking about him.
Islanders general manager Gart Snow was on SiriusXM last week, Nick, saying that they're going to begin negotiations with John Tavares as soon as they can next July. You know, Toronto's already licking their chops now that Stamkos has re-signed with Tampa Bay. What do you think? I don't think he's going to sign next July.
You have to lock him up. I don't know.
Garth knows that. Yeah, it's just a matter of whether or not John wants to.
I don't know if the moves this offseason help or hurt. To me, the Islanders took a step sideways, and it depends on how these other young kids develop. On paper-wise, you can't say one way or the other which way the Islanders gets. But the Strome, the Nelsons, all those kids that are coming up, the Hosangs, somebody's got to hit. One of these guys has to hit and be able to pair with John Tavares. And I mean, the way Tavares is and the impact he had on Long Island, I think it's going to be really tough for him to walk away as well.
I mean, you know, Steven Stamkos was in a better situation the past year,
much
and he
better.
Didn't sign.
Right.
But if I'm the Islanders, July 1 next year, I go up to but before I talk to anyone else, I go up to John Tavares and I say, here's $15 million a year for 8 years. We're giving you the most amount of money humanly possible allowed under the CBA to stay here. And I think that's their best option. I think eventually he probably will stay, but I do think that he needs to see more upward mobility with this organization before he'll fully commit.
Yeah, I don't think it's a negotiation. I think it's, John, what do you want?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. If you want 15, here it is, but then know the rest of the team's going to take a hit. And if you want 10, that's fine. If you want 12, whatever it is, it's yours.
You can check out the Islanders Point Blank podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We're going to speak with Arthur Staple from Newsday this week, and we're going to talk about Kyle Okposo's farewell and the Tavares contract extension talk. Subscribe to the SMY.TV audio network to download Islanders Point Blank, as well as this show and the rest of our original podcasts. Before we go, we talked about Graves and Tambellini with Pat. Either of those two get you excited down the road, Adam?
Down the road, I think Graves is a potential.
Huge slap shot.
Yeah, I think he has, like, Girardi kind of potential as, like, a low-rated guy who eventually comes in and plays a significant role.
He's putting the time in. He's earned his way to the top of the Wolfpack. His name's out there now. If he has a good year, I think the Rangers, you know, you got to give him a crack at some point the way he's earned it.
Yeah,
he's earned it. If he has another good year, he will have made his way from the bottom to the top and succeeded at every level. And I think at that point, the Rangers will really have to consider getting him in.
If Graves can skate at all, if you have a 103-mile-an-hour slap shot, you're going to see some time in the NHL.
Yeah. Hopefully on the power play.
Gentlemen, we're going to take a few weeks off here. We've reached the doldrums of summer, as we mentioned earlier in the show. Have a great summer, and we'll see you when there's news. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Will there be?
Hopefully.
I would think so. Kreider's getting traded, right, Adam? We're on the same page?
I think so.
I would go Stahl.
He's not getting traded. He's got a no-move clause.
Nick is trading Girardi for 3 first-round draft picks.
No, Girardi, you can't move. Stahl will get you something. Bag of pucks.
Enjoy the nice weather, boys.
I'll miss you, Bri.
I wish I could say the same. Thanks again to Pat Williams. Enjoy your summer. Thanks for listening to Rangers Blue Line. We'll see you in the fall.
This has been the Rangers Blue Line Podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.